A good, good day. I am Jim Rohmer, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So it's a good day because Wednesdays always are good days because there's so much content and so many things to get done. I want to reset very quickly what I did at the end of last hour. So we had NFL draft prospect Elijah Molden on. He's a potential first-round pick, and he got my attention right off the bat. Now, the thing about these draft prospects, and I've done this a long time, year to year you could see a change. They've never been more polished and further along. They're just more advanced. And it stands to reason, right? There's a lot at stake. It's the ultimate job interview. They're getting ready. Part of getting ready for the NFL is showing up and doing media like this. So these guys know where they are. They know what to do. But being coached up is one thing, and then being a certain way is another. Elijah Molden is a different sort of young man. Very wise, sage, and a great personality about him. And I hate to be that guy who's like the old boomer, like, hey, yo, look me in the eye when you talk to me. But because I do this every single day, and because leading up to the draft, I talk to prospects every single day, I see how they react. And by the way, if you're an agent or you're a trainer or you're a manager or you're listening right now, you might take note of this. It got my attention. When I introduce him the way I do and I say, nice to have you, how are you? And he addresses me by name. Hi, Jim, how are you? Good to be here. That got my attention. When I ask him a question about his speed coach, he turns it around into a question. And not in sort of a manufactured, contrived way, but he was really interested. You could tell how much he thought of that guy and said, hey, by the way, you live around there? Do you know him? Have you met him? I thought that was very disarming. And then at the very end of the interview, when he says to me, hey, I appreciate you a lot. I respect that very much. And then we go to break, and Hawk is just yapping this guy. And next thing you know, Adam, go ahead, pick up the headphones. I have to ask you, Adam, I think that your post interview conversation with Elijah Molden was longer than my actual conversation. Given how little you like sports, I'm really curious, what were you and he talking about?
Well, Elijah played his football for the University of Washington Huskies, so him and I went to the same college. We're both, he's going to be alone soon.
Easy, wait, did you just say you attended the University of Washington?
Yes, I sure did.
For how long?
Well, the duration of a cigarette or two.
Okay.
And you know my rule, Jim. If I smoke a cigarette on campus, I officially went to that school. Right. Okay. Now I'm attending Fullerton. It's a great place.
You are?
Yeah. I go to Fullerton often.
Cal State Fullerton?
Both Cal State Fullerton and Fullerton Community College, both in my neighborhood. I consider walking on campus, attending it.
I forgot that. Okay, I get it, right. So you and he have that in common. You, quote, went to the same college.
That's right.
But again, it seemed to me your conversation with him was longer than my conversation with him. What else did you talk about?
Well, there's this wonderful fast food establishment in Seattle called Dick's Drive-In. This to Seattle is what In-N-Out is to Southern California, Arizona, and Nevada. It's quintessentially ours. We love it. We fight fiercely for it. So I wanted to ask him, since he was in Irvine doing some work and since he lived in Seattle, what he preferred. Dick's Drive-In.
Burger Wars.
Yeah, Burger Wars. Dick's Drive-In or In-N-Out. And he told me, without hesitation, In-N-Out all day long.
Good.
I was kind of disappointed. He said he lived next to a
what,
Dick's.
What, in the truth?
Yes. He said he lived next to a Dick's Drive-In his entire time that he was up there in Seattle, and he had only been a handful of times, and that if he had lived next to an In-N-Out in California, he would go every single day. So that tells you everything.
Take that, yo.
Yeah, the fact that he was not frequenting Dick's Drive-In while living there right next to it.
Now, you know, it tells me, even more than that, what that tells me about that young man is what a quality kid he is, that he bothered to even have a conversation with you at all. No offense, Hawk.
No, that's correct. And then, you know, we talked about boating on Lake Washington. He likes to get out on the boat on Lake Washington.
He indulged you in that, too.
He sure did. He told me all the neighborhoods he lived
in. This guy, man.
Great guy. Absolutely great guy.
Yeah, the best guy ever.
Yes.
He knows that you are who you are, right?
He does. And, you know, he told me that
and
on
still
draft
talked
day,
to you for that long.
Yeah. He said,
no wonder he liked me so much, dude. Even like you.
He's like, I hope to make a fellow Husky proud on draft day. And I said, I know you will.
Oh, my God. Anyway, listen, one more thing. Something you do know about, actually, is Jeopardy. You know all things Jeopardy. Ritz Boy. People are asking how Ritz Guy did yesterday. I did not see it. I don't know. You know, no offense, I don't really care, but apparently some of the clones do. Mike Nelson, right?
That's right, Mike Nelson.
How did Nelly do last night?
Nelly won the game last night,
wow.
And so he's on a little two-day heater. We update this thread because we brought it up yesterday, and so people tuned in because they're like, wow, Ritz minister, his ordained minister who officiated his wedding and who competed on America Says with him, is on Jeopardy winning. Yesterday, he extended the streak to two. He won $10,000. He almost blew the game in Double Jeopardy. He came out ice cold.
The way Ritz blew the game when they were on America's Got Talent or whatever they were on?
That is correct. So he was having an ice-cold second round. He made up for it late, and then everyone lost in Final Jeopardy. But Mike made a brilliant wager in Final Jeopardy, was able to survive not getting the question right, and now he moves on to the third round because of some genius wagering. So good for Mike.
Yeah, my thing is, like, probably this stuff was taped. It's probably been in the can for weeks, right?
Oh, yeah.
So where's my guy Stevie Carbone with the spoiler alert? Like, I don't want to live this thing day to day. Let me know right now what happened.
Well,
does he get blown out tonight?
If Ritt told me the truth a couple of months ago. Jeopardy.
Man, people were so pissed at you, Hawk.
Were we allowed to say that?
You just did.
Well, he made me very mad when he told me that because I'm an avid viewer and I don't want any spoilers.
So you ruined
like
it for
that.
Everybody else.
I'm so sorry. We should have cut the segment off a long time ago.
What a wreck you are, dude. All right. Yeah, I should have. All right. Thank you for nothing. I don't give a damn. I'm not watching. Hey, there you go, Jeopardy Nation. Now you know. Hawk's like, what did I just do? Like, Hawk normally does really stupid things and knows exactly what he did and doesn't care. Look at the two of these guys. Rich shaking his head like, hey, man, that's on you. That's on you, dude. You just did that. Don't look at me like I set you up for that. You just did that yourself. Wow. You just blew that, dude. And now my phone's blown up from people telling me. Oh, look at that. There's the producer of Jeopardy right there. Oh, I don't know that number. Just kidding, Hawk. Yeah, so whatever y'all were going to do at 7 o'clock tonight, you don't have to do because Hawk just gave it up. 1-800-636-8686. Dude, don't sweat that. You're the only one who really... Well, actually, Jeopardy Nation's pretty large. Loud and proud. They probably do care. Look at Ritt. Ritt's like, hey, man, you're on your own. Two of these guys are having a really intense conversation right now on the other side of the glass. Anyway.
Ridiculous, right?
Ridiculous.
Kind of ridiculous.
So, yeah, I'm not even looking to clean up any mess because as far as I'm concerned, there is no mess on aisle five. I just don't give a damn. It doesn't matter to me. I was just playing along for you clones and Jeopardy honks. Does not matter to me. Still ahead, I've got Billy Napier. He is the head football coach at the University of Louisiana. You know what? Do this for me. The beef segment is coming up at 10:40, so you want to load that thing up right now. The clock is spinning quickly. Load it up. I say it every single week. That segment has never failed. We have a streak. We are undefeated. There are certain things in life that are undefeated. Sex, father time, and the what's your beef segment. It always works. Load it up. Let's get it going. Phone number is 1-800-636-8686. The beef segment is at 10:40. Call now with your beef. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on social with your beef at Jim Rome. Tweet at Jim Rome. Email me a beef. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. This one is directed to Tan Man. Hey, Tan Man. CJ, well done going in on Matt in L.A. But thanks to you, now Matt is on hold and planning his weak comeback while he's snaking some pipes and plunging toilets. Guaranteed there will be some stupid alliteration by that moron. Signed, Mario in SF. Wore Matt in L.A., accepting that invite to Vegas and losing all of his money at Circus and being forced to work there to make up his losses. His job being himself, a toilet plunger dressed as a clown. Damn, all the Bay Area is going in on Matt. CJ, Mario, Hey, Adam, shake it off, man. Dude, you turned a shade of white that I haven't seen since the last time you did something dumb. Dude, shake it off. Who cares, man? It's fine. You didn't tell anybody anything they didn't already know.
Shake yourself.
Shake. Up on episode 171 of the Jim Rome podcast. You might say, yeah, Rome, we heard you the first time. Yeah, well, you're going to hear it again. You're going to hear it again because the conversation is that good. And it was a decade in the making. Coming up in hour number three, Sirit Sohi makes her jungle debut. She is an NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. So we're looking forward to that. That's coming up then. ATP in hour number three. The hell was Mark Davis thinking yesterday with that tweet? The hell was he thinking when he finally realized exactly what it was he tweeted and then left it up there? This dude is making no sense at all. At all. All right, so quickly, let's get to the phones before the beef segment. That guy called it. Mario called it. Matt in L.A. is on hold. Really quickly, in case you missed it, not only did CJ go in on Matt, he went in on Matt and he earned a golden ticket. The first golden ticket we've given away in months. It happened last hour.
We can hit the buffet, jam up the crapper, because I hear you clear growlers. A plumber's apprentice on Medicaid. Pooper's going to poop and there's so many toilets to clean in Vegas. Clean my toilet, son.
Pooper's gonna poop, a plumber's apprentice on Medicaid, clean up my poop, son? And that got him a golden ticket. Well, the body of work got him the golden ticket. Everybody gets a chance to respond. Let's go to L.A. What's going on, Matt?
That's the Mac. Hey, thanks for the vine. CJ, that bag area burnout, still wants some up him. Check it out. Your soft-serve ice cream smooth hands are about as tough as the smack you run, you candy ass. Your reading skills won't get you too far, though, my man. Maybe you need a higher silk bra to tutor your dumb ass. Cause you sound like a first grader struggling through Dr. Seuss read-along, you pipsqueak. So, hey, yo, Kirk Reader, get ready for a good old-fashioned smackdown, because kind of like Giants v. Dodgers after 2014, it's going to be SoCal domination when I take that catcher's mitt in front of AT&T Park and backhand your Golden Gate mug with it, you Frisco fake. That gold-plated ticket is going to turn green when you try and use it, you kindergarten slap-running, garlic-fried breath-having, stinky bitch. And funny that CJ asked for me to clean his toilet because his girl DM'd me that same request last week when she found out I'll be in Tahoe next month. Holla. Outro.
My man, Matt in L.A. Beef. Speaking of beef, the beef segment's coming up next. CJ's golden ticket is not green. It's still golden. He still has it. My bad. I got ahead of myself. I've got Billy Napier coming up next. And I've got the beef segment coming up at 10:40. Lots going on, man. Lots going on, yo. Lots of plumber snake smack. Gave away a golden ticket. It's a good day. I wonder if I can give away two in one day. I'm trying to think. Nobody else is actually technically on the watch list, but it doesn't matter. People have made single telephone calls and ripped golden tickets. Granted, you have to be a legend to pull something like that. But you never know where these people come from or where the calls come from. When we return, the rest of the hour sets up like this. Billy Napier is next, then the beef segment. Are you looking for professional level protection for your car's paint? Of course you are. But you don't want to pay a professional detailer. I get that. You don't have to. New Revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating provides just that. 12 months protection with a simple mode of application. You can do it yourself in no time at all. And it leaves your car's finish with insane levels of shine and depth. Plus, the water beading is crazy. Your car will never look better. It also helps to protect your car looking that way for longer, too. Because the layer of protection helps to repel dust. It fights off water spotting. It does this by making water shed quickly from the surface and by lowering the surface temperature so the water does not end up drying on the paint. Also great to use on your car's glass, wheels, and trim as well. It is now available at Advance Auto Parts Plus, Pep Boys locations nationwide, or you can learn more by going directly to 303radio.com, 303radio.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Reminder for you this weekend, CBS takes you to the next stop on the PGA Tour. Some of golf's biggest names roll into the Big Easy. Getting after it at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Live coverage getting underway Saturday and Sunday both at 3 Eastern and 12 Pacific on CBS. Billy Napier is going to be my next guest. We are efforting that. Billy Napier right into the beef segment. 1-800-636-8686. Load it up. There is a phone line still open right now. Use it. If maybe you want to call and you can't get through, then hit me up on Twitter. Just thumb out a beef. Easy to do. Hit me at Jim Rome. Best beefs get on the air. If you don't want to do that and you want to go old school with it, email me a beef. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And then remember, episode 171. I'm hitting it so hard because I know it's good. And the reason I know it's good is I've already done it. It's in the can. Doug Ellen. And the reason I'm talking to him now after all this time. So Entourage has been off the air for a long, long, long time. And it was always one of my favorite programs. And Doug Ellen is hosting his own podcast with some of the guys. And you might think, God, these guys. Everybody has a podcast. And the way this game works is everybody has a podcast. And then they interview each other so they can drive traffic to each other's podcasts. And my response to that is, and? Right. Essentially, that is what that is. However, I never had a chance to talk to this guy about that show. And again, I don't want to give up the entire interview, but there's this fascinating thread about Entourage and how it was like the biggest thing in the world and the best show in the world. And then the narrative changed. You know, whatever you want to call it. Cancel culture, groupthink. All of a sudden, it just got it in some people's heads that, hey, by the way, it's not the best thing ever. In fact, it might not even be a good thing. And he and I talk about that. But then everything comes around, right? Because of nostalgia. Anyway, it's a great conversation because the guy is just real and he's raw. And most of all, he is authentic. So look for that after the program. As promised, right now, we are joined by the head football coach at the University of Louisiana. He is entering his fourth year as head coach. He was the 2019 Sun Belt Coach of the Year, led Louisiana to a conference title last season, led Louisiana to three straight divisional titles. Louisiana ranked last season for the first time since 1943. They open up at Texas September 4th. Billy Napier is my guest. Billy, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Doing great, Jim. I appreciate you covering our team, man.
I appreciate you coming on, Coach, to talk about your team. It's great to have you back. All right, so you've been going through spring practices. You've got your spring game Thursday night. How did you attack that period? In other words, what were your goals coming into spring, and how has progress gone in realizing those goals? Where are you at?
Well, I've been really pleased. You know, I think we executed our first and second phases as well as we've done since we've been here. You know, we spent about a month in our foundation phase back in January and February. We transitioned to the identity program, which is probably the most difficult part of the year. Really a challenge from a mental toughness standpoint. Really challenges the self-discipline of the players. And then, you know, that momentum has really carried over into spring practice. Very pleased. You know, it's a new team. Quite a bit of attrition. You know, not only on the team with the players, but also within the organization. So a lot of work, really pleased with the depth I felt like we developed. Really trying to establish familiarity with the systems on offense, defense, and game changers. We did that, not only with the players, but also with the new staff as well.
Billy Napier joining us. I appreciate that response. You mentioned the identity phase, and then you talked about mental toughness and discipline. For instance, with a new group, what's the identity of this football team? What are you looking for in terms of identity?
Well, we're a long way from being there, but I think you want to do the simple things really well when it comes to football. You know, I think oftentimes the first way you win is you don't beat yourself. So I think just really becoming familiar with our concepts, the fundamentals at each position. I think communication is really important. You know, I think you can eliminate mental errors, be on the same page. In general, that's been our focus in spring practice, right? I think it's one of the ways that we've improved as a team is we've been very good fundamentally. And I think it's a big part of spring practice. You know, it's how you develop your roster. Oftentimes we get caught up in the starting group, but the depth of your team, the bottom half of your roster, I think affects the ability for your team to continue to improve. And we're pleased with what we've seen so far.
Billy Napier is the head football coach at the University of Louisiana. Billy, I mentioned off the top that you're going to open up against Texas again on September 4th. Fact is, you opened up last season at Iowa State, this year Texas. A lot of programs would not risk starting the season with big-time opponents the way you have. What's your sense or your approach to that? What's your process in thinking that?
Well, I think it benefits your team. You know, I think there's a lot of excitement, not only in the offseason, but in particular, in the summer during training camp was an approach that we had at the University of Alabama that I really thought impacted our preparation as we led up to the season. So it's going to be a great challenge. You know, the tradition, the history, great Texas program, certainly Steve Sarkisian, who's a very accomplished coach. So it'll be a good measuring stick for our staff and our team. A great way to start it off, right? I think, we'll have a good picture of where we're at, what we need to do to continue to improve as a team as we take on the 21 schedule.
We're talking to Billy Napier. You know, Billy, I could talk to you about scheme. I could talk X's nose with you. I want to ask you about something, though, that's not that necessarily. After the win over Iowa State last year, you said something that really did stick with me. You said you do not win a game like that, quote, unless you've got exceptional people, end quote. So, I mean, in terms of scheme and talent, how much of football is about scheme and talent, and how much of it is about the people and making people the priority and making sure you have exceptional people?
No, I think you're spot on, Jim. You know, I think growing up as a son of a high school football coach, really got into the profession because of the opportunity to impact people. You know, and observing my dad do that generation after generation, I tried to take a similar approach at the collegiate level. You know, my dad oftentimes would say that football is a game about people, strategy, and competition. But you've always got to keep people at the top of that list. And it's really the approach that we've taken. You know, I think trying to develop young men, right, trying to develop people, not only the players, but also the people within your organization. So it's a big part of what we do. There's no question, I think, this game will test what type of togetherness that you do have. If there's a sincerity about your care for the players and care for the people in your organization, and that's what we've done here. It's part of our culture, and I do think it's the human element, right, to this game. So many people contribute to success of a football team, college football in particular. You know, we've got 135 players. We've got, I think we test in COVID, 215 people each week, twice a week. So there's a lot of people that have a role and contribute to your success. And it's where we start. So I think you're spot on. And certainly that's a big part of what we do here.
Billy Napier joining us. Billy, maybe I'm reading into this, but when you and I started this conversation, I think you said something along the lines of, hey, thanks for giving me an opportunity to talk about the program. You know, because of the success you've had at Louisiana, your name has come up time and time again for other jobs. I'm curious how you approach that and why it's so important for you to stay where you are right now.
Well, you know, I think a lot of things go into those decisions. Probably number one at the top of the list is the people that you work with each day, to go along with your family. You know, I think sometimes, you know, people think about just your family when you start talking about career decisions, moves in the profession. But, you know, there's hundreds of people that are impacted, not only our current team and organization, but also the people that you're going to work with and the players you're going to coach at the next stop. So, you know, I think big thing for me is I'm very pleased with where we're at here. You know, I've been very impressed with the leadership from our administration. Dr. Savla and Dr. Maggard are absolute professionals. They've given us the tools that we need to be competitive and have success, and really like the team that we have coming back, and I feel like there's work left to be done and certainly a lot more that we can accomplish. So, you know, I mean, a lot goes into those decisions, a lot of prayer, a lot of thoughts, a lot of phone calls to maybe mentors, people in the profession that you've got respect for and have gotten wisdom from throughout the years. And, you know, right now, Lafayette, Louisiana is a special place to our family, and certainly we're excited about the challenges ahead.
All right, that's great. He is entering his fourth year as head coach, and again, Louisiana coming off another big, big season. They were ranked for the first time since 1943. He has led them to three straight divisional titles and the season opener. It's a big one. It's at Texas on September 4th. Billy Napier is the head football coach there. Billy, I appreciate it very much. Great to have you on. Great to talk about the program. Let's be sure to do it again soon.
Jim, thank you so much, man. We'll see you down the road.
You got it. Thank you, Coach. Billy Napier joining us. It's a good Wednesday. Like I said, good, good day. Good quality conversations. And that's another one. When we return, I'm just going to turn it over to y'all. I'm just going to sit back and let you do what you do. Namely, beef. Complain. Get after it. Bitch. Cry. Go. What's your beef? Call with a beef, tweet with a beef, email with a beef. That's next. First up, here's a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's do this. Time for the beef segment. And remember, not all beef jerky is the same. Well, Trapper is better for you. It's higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there it is. The giant plastic tower of beef. Teriyaki. Peppered. It's all good. Let's get it. And notice it's locked, so Rit cannot get in. We had to actually lock the Tower of Beef. There's a padlock on it. It's double locked right now. I saw him trying to jimmy the lock the other day. I'm like, come on, Rit. Rome, my beef is with the slow shopping cart guy in the grocery aisle. Dude, let's move it. Get your high trans fat desserts and move. You don't need to keep blocking my way. Steve from the Northwest. Romy, my beef is with that guy that uses the bathroom, then proceeds to go over and just run water over his hands and walk out. Use some soap, freak. Rob and Charlotte. Those are both good beefs. Hola, Jim. My beef is with these impatient, inconsiderate goofs that hover around the baggage claim at the airport, standing shoulder to shoulder, waiting for their crappy luggage that has yet to even make it to the carousel, making it impossible to get through and get your bag. Back up, wait for your bag to come out, then step up and retrieve your duct-taped hand-me-down and get the hell out of the way. Dorks. Sammy. People are angry today. I like it. Dear Jim, I have a beef. It's with my coworker who constantly tells me that today is National Fill in the Blank Day. Look, I don't care what day it is because every day is National Shut the Hell Up Day. Bob in Buffalo, there is your clubhouse leader. Well done. Romy. My beef is with people that bring their dog to the farmer's market. Nothing like taking a bite out of a delicious breakfast burrito, only to look up and see your St. Bernard dropping a hot steamer. Evan Jones. Well done, Ev. My beef is with people that bring their dogs anywhere. How about that? And I like dogs a lot. People who bring their dogs anywhere other than for a WALK. Do you really need that dog with you at the mall, at the restaurant? Dear Jim. Oh, this guy nailed it. My beef is with pants pockets that are too small for my cell phone. So when I go sit in my car, the phone falls out of my pocket and into that cell phone size crack between the car seat and the console, thus ending up in purgatory under the car seat with zero chance of finding it until I arrive at my destination. Sincerely, Devin in Indy. That is so well played. That is so true. That is so infuriating. The only thing worse than that is losing your cell phone in your airplane chair purgatory. I've done that so many times. And then that's a black hole, and you're not getting it back. I had a better chance of finding my cell phone at the bottom of Cranberry Lake than I did at the bottom of my last flight in Delta. That the car thing is a real thing, though, man. I do that so often. I hate that. God forbid we wait until we get where we're going to get our phone back, right? Because then I can't text and drive. Dear Jim, my beef is with four-year-olds who address me by my first name. Hey, parents, teach your rugrats how to address an elder with some respect. Mix in a mister every once in a while. Sincerely, Paul in the Denver suburbs. Rome, my beef is with bike seats. Why so small? Brent in Appleton, well done. Hey, Ike, why is your thumb up, dude? When's the last time you ever got on a bike? Dude, when's the last time you did any exercise at all? Ike's like, yeah, man, right on. Come on, Rit. Rome.
Bring it on.
I have massive beef with all sports channels that are talking European soccer this week. Our ancestors fought a war, so we do not have to care about or listen to this garbage. Stop it. Vince in Illinois.
Garbage.
Rome, my beef is with Manny Pacquiao singing. If you're going to subject us to that garbage, at least pick a better song. Tan Smack, give us what we want. Benny Scholl singing the national anthem.
Oh my.
Signed, Jeremiah in Greenville. You check out Benny yesterday wishing everybody a happy 420.
Oh my.
Van Smack. My beef is with Old Man River at Del Mar, placing his late double-double bet with 1 minute to post in the first race. Half the line is yelling, and this man thinks nothing of it and continues on with that $2 bet. Put the racing form down, old man. Place that bet in the window between races, not when the lines are packed with seconds to go. James in San Diego. That's an awesome beef, actually. That's so true. He wars hot and dusty, making me winnings in 2009 at DMTC. War, Trevor Denman resets. Hi, Jim. I have a beef with parents who post their kids' report cards on social media. Nobody cares how your spawn is performing in Algebra 2. Here is an equation for you idiots. You plus your kids equals losers. Salty Sarah T.
You're an idiot.
War Lady Clone.
Dear Jim, I am drinks a ton of water at work guy. And my beef is with the old women I work with who tell me I'd be in the bathroom all day if I drank that much water. Hey, Gertrude and Mabel, I don't care about how much water you drink, nor do I want to picture your bathroom habits, you two fossils. Leave me alone and go grab a Reader's Digest or whatever you dinosaurs read. Paul in Albany. This one reads, "What's happening, partner? My beef is with my fiance, who let raw chicken leak on the top shelf of the refrigerator just so I could find it dripping over everything on its way down to the floor as I was trying to leave for work this morning. Put that thing in a sealed container while it is thawing. We're not crying like a little bitch while talking about my fiance like Jeff in San Antonio."
Me and my fiance?
Michael in the Mile High City.
Me and my fiance?
All right, there you go. Let's go to the phones. Call with your beef in the Bay Area, Joe. What's going on, Joe? What's your beef?
Romy.
Joe.
I'm a sales rep with the California Lottery, and my beef is with all these knuckleheads that ask me in every single account I go to, what are the winning numbers? Yeah, because if I had those, I'd be sitting here in this dirty-ass store talking to you and not laid up on a beach retired somewhere.
My man, rack him. Nice job, Joe. Well done, Joe. I like that. That was a good beef. That was legitimate. That was authentic. He was pissed. I like that. Good job. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to St. Louis. Todd in St. Louis. Todd, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. Been guilted into giving up more money anytime I buy something when the credit card machine displays, "Would you like to donate money to fight hunger? Help a pet? Save a tree, blah, blah, blah."
Restaurants, brother. You know, the thing about being guilted into donations, it's one thing if it shows up. All you have to do, like on the screen, is hit no if you don't want to. It's another, though, when the checker hits you right between the eyes with, "Would you like to donate too?" I mean, you almost have to say yes, right? And we probably should say yes anyway. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I don't know. Don't drag me down with your beef. 1-800-636-8686. Where are we going next? I'm looking for a beef. Let's go to Frank in Michigan. Good to have you, Frank. What's your beef?
Yo, Rome, my beef is with radio disclaimer guy at the end of mortgage company commercials. 30-30. That's my beef.
Nice job. Well done, Frank. My man, here's the thing. The reason we do that, and that does go on in my program, we have to get, I don't know, 45 seconds of content into 30 seconds or 75 seconds into 60 seconds. Radio disclaimer guy's got a job to do, too. We have to do that or legal will kick our ass if we don't. Got it? What's your beef? We go to Snowbird. Mike and Snowbird. What's up, Mike?
Romy, what's up, buddy? My beef is with both versions of turn signal, idiot. You got the original, the guy who doesn't use it at all, usually in an Audi. And then you have the mutation. You got the guy who hits the signal right when he starts to turn. You're doing it wrong. I need some heads up. I can't read your mind, you butthole.
Oh, man. All right. So first of all, add him to the butthole montage.
Butthole.
This guy's great. He's like, it's the original. The guy who won't do it at all, usually an Audi guy. And then the mutation thereof. The guy who starts to hit the blinker right as he starts to make the turn. I can't read your mind, butthole. I don't know. Mike and Snowbird makes me laugh.
Butthole.
The beef segment generally makes me laugh. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the D. J Scabs. Johnny, what's your beef?
Hey, Jimmy, my beef is with people who crowd the boarding area at the airport when they know they're sitting in the back of the plane. Get the hell out of the way so I can get my hot towel and a glass of scotch. Late.
Come on, Scabs. You're not sitting up front. You're not getting a hot towel. You're not getting your scotch. Come on, dude. You know, life must be returning to normal because we've had multiple beefs on the airport. Does that mean you're traveling once again? If you're talking about the carousel and you're talking about riding up front with a hot towel and scotch. Momo in the 805. Momo, what's up? What's your beef?
What's sobby, Romy? My beef is with those homies that show up to happy hour at Harry's Plaza Cafe and have no wallet and drink $100 worth of stiffies and a French dip, and it takes 5 Venmo requests and a month later to pay you back.
My man, I see you working. Wasabi. I had a friend once, and true story, and I like this guy. In fact, I was kind of fascinated by this guy. We all thought he was kind of an enigma, and he ran a business. He was a young entrepreneur, and he was loaded. Dude, lots of money. We all go to Morton's one night, and we throw down back in the day, and we get after it now. I'm talking apps, salads, steaks, cocktails, desserts, after dinner drinks. We got after it. My man literally had the balls when the check came. We were going to divide that whole thing up. He's like, oh, forgot my wallet. I'm good for it. I'll get you. I'm like, this dude literally had the balls to pull that at Morton's. It was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen in my life. I thought that was so ballsy. I think I remember thinking, dude, you are good for it. In fact, I got you. The level of gonad that took. I mean, there was nothing on that menu we didn't order that night. So I feel you. 1-800-636-8686. I'm walking off on that. That was good. That was really well done. That's a good beef segment. Sorry, Kathleen. You got to get in earlier. You know this. We do that once a week. We do it on Wednesdays. It moves around within the program on Wednesdays, but it's always on Wednesday. Looking ahead to hour number 3, I do want to talk about the Raiders. And I'm trying to figure out still exactly what the hell Mark Davis was thinking with that tweet yesterday after the Derek Chauvin verdict dropped. We'll have that. Sirit Sohi makes her jungle debut. She's an NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. I've got an ATP. I've got a podcast to push out after the program. I've got a lot to get done on this busy Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. 2 hours down, hour number 3, straight ahead.